In our second sermon in the series, Dining with Jesus, we come to the Last Supper. And what comes to your mind when you hear those words? For many of us, when we hear the preposition "the" before Last Supper, we think about the painting. It was done about 500 years ago by Leonardo da Vinci in a monastery in Milan, Italy. On the wall, the Last Supper. Jesus Christ and His disciples seated at a table. Now this painting that He did on the wall of the monastery has been repainted so many times, it must be one of the paintings that have been redone the most in all of history. And you see it more clearly in a painting that someone did about that. Now we know that there's lots of stuff in that painting that wasn't historical. They didn't all sit in one side of the table like that, and didn't have the sandals on their feet like that. And there's a couple of things we can point out. Maybe didn't sit on chairs like that, etc., etc. But the point being, the last time that Jesus had a meal with His disciples before He went to His death. The second thing that can come to mind when you think about the Last Supper is someone who is on death row. They get a chance to choose their last meal. Someone commented and said, this is kind of showing a softer side by the judicial system just before they murder someone. Just to make it seem better. You can choose your last meal. And then we will kill you. Very interesting that I've been reading up on what people choose as their last meals. There's a wide range. Many of them don't have much of an appetite at that time. And it is kind of interesting the fact that we eat to sustain our bodies, but this body that is eating this meal won't be sustained by that meal. In fact, the food that will be eaten probably won't be digested by that time when that person passes away. With Christ it was different because He didn't die soon after the meal. In fact, no one knew that He was going to die soon. He wasn't on death row. But He knew. He knew that His time had come. Back in the day, when Abraham went to sacrifice his son Isaac, and they walked up to the mountain, and Isaac said, we have the wood and we have the fire, but where's the lamb? Abraham said, God Himself will supply the lamb. When John the Baptist saw Jesus walking, he said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Jesus knew that He was the Lamb. It was at the Passover feast, celebrating the slaughtering of the lambs. He knew that His time had come. He knew that this would be His last supper, even though no one else knew. But today we know. We know that that was His last supper. And so what He did and what He said during that supper becomes very important to us. Let us read the passages Luke has written it down for us. Luke 22, verses 14 to 30. I'm reading from the NIV. When the hour came, Jesus and His apostles reclined at the table. And He said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, He gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after the supper, He took a cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him. They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the words given to us, written down by Luke, preserved for us through all the centuries. And we can read about this Last Supper, what Jesus said, what he did. What a terrible night. What a terribly dark, grim, what a terrible, hopeless night. But at the same time, what a beautiful night. The night when Jesus goes as a lamb to be slaughtered, to purchase life and freedom for each one of us. I pray, Lord, that today as we remember this, and as we talk about the institution of the Lord's Supper, that you would spark something inside us through your Holy Spirit, so that we can be attentive to the presence of our Lord amongst us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During the Last Supper, Jesus instituted a practice that he wanted to continue until he came back. Until he comes again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This practice that he wants us to observe is known to us as the Lord's Supper on this table. The night that we are talking about, the night in question, was the Last Supper. But he wanted to change that to become the Lord's Supper, so that you and I can observe that through the centuries. And then, at the end of time, when Jesus comes back, there will be the wedding banquet of the Lamb. There's a continuity there. The table that was set for the Last Supper is going to become the table of the Lord's Supper. It's going to become the table of the wedding banquet of the Lamb. Instituted to be observed through the ages. Jesus was present at each and every one of these meals. The Eucharistic formula, as we read that in verse 19, says, "And he took bread, he gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The four verbs: took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them. This is the formula. This is the institution that he wants to carry on. We can see that when he meets with the disciples on the way to Emmaus. We talked about that last week. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. Jesus was instituting something at the Last Supper that he wanted to continue through the Lord's Supper, that he wanted to continue until the wedding banquet of the Lamb. You have that, those four verbs right there. Where he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them. He was the one who was present at these all three of these meals, at the Last Supper, at the Lord's Supper, and he will be present at the wedding banquet coming up. During the Last Supper, Jesus was present in his flesh. You could feel and touch him. During the Lord's Supper, he is present by his Spirit. You can't feel or touch him, but you contend to his presence. You can recognize his presence. And then at the wedding banquet of the Lamb, as we read in Revelations, he is going to be present in the flesh once again. We believe, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, in the resurrection of the flesh. Why? Because Jesus was resurrected in the flesh. Because he appeared to his disciples and he said, I'm not a ghost, come and feel me and touch me. In fact, give me something to eat. Do you have any fish that I can eat? So Jesus is present at the Last Supper, he's present at the Lord's Supper, and he will be present at the wedding banquet of the Lamb. In fact, when he speaks to his disciples during the Last Supper, he says to them, you are those who stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. That is what is to come. The presence of Jesus. Not only is he present, but he is host at these meals. It is during the Last Supper that he acts as host and he takes the bread and he gives thanks and he breaks it and he gives it to them. It is during the meal with those on the way to Emmaus, when they get to their destination, that he, even though he's the guest, he acts as host when he takes the bread and he breaks it. Sorry, he gives thanks, he breaks it, and then he gives it, and that's when they recognize him. He is present at this table, but he is not just present as a guest, he is present as host. This is his table. Jesus is uniquely present at this table. You see, the presence of God is different in different contexts. God is present in the whole world. There's nowhere you can go where you will not be in the presence of God. If you go to the highest mountain, God is there. If you go to the deepest sea, God is there. If you go to the remotest place in Africa, wherever you want to go, you will find God because His presence is everywhere. But He's present in different contexts, in different ways. If we come together as Christians, and we know that we have the presence of God in us, if we come together for a birthday party, we know that God is there. But His presence will be different than when we come together to praise and worship Him. And His presence will be different when we come to this table, where He is the host. And He says, come and eat my flesh and come and drink my blood. I am the bread of life. Anyone who eats of this bread will never die, but they will live forever. The word that he uses, he says, do this in remembrance of me. That word remembrance, the Greek word is anamnesis. It's an experience. It's to experience something in the present on the basis of a past event. We experience something now on the basis of something that happened in the past. The easiest way to explain that is a birthday party. I know some folks who had some significant birthdays lately, and I think they're going to get parking spots here at the church. But the point of a birthday party is that you celebrate your birth. It's the day of birth that is celebrated. It's something that happened in the past. But I'm celebrating today. I'm experiencing joy today because this is a day that I can celebrate. You see, there's a connection there between the past and the present. When we come to this table, Jesus uses this word, anamnesis. The past. Remember what happened in the past, but experience it today. And there's a view to the future. Because at this table, the past, the present, and the future are all connected together. We experience in this moment the past, the present, and the future. The God who saved us, the God who is saving us, and the God who will save us completely one day. When we come together to remember Him, to experience here in the present what He did in the past, when we come together in for prayer, for the Word, and for sacrament, Jesus is uniquely present to us. But the presence of God is specifically where the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is present wherever God is king. Now, in earthly terms, we know that kings have an area of authority. If you're the Queen of England, then we know where her reign is, or where her territory is. When you're the King of the Netherlands, or when you are the Queen of Sheba, we know where your territory is. But the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom like that. It is a spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of God is wherever God is king, wherever His will is done. That's our prayer. May your kingdom come. May your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for that kingdom, that spiritual kingdom, to break into this present reality that we live in. We pray for that kingdom to become real amongst us. Wherever that happens, wherever God is made king, here on earth is where His kingdom comes. He is king wherever His subjects are. You see, it's not an area as such, but it's where His subjects are, where people are there to bow before Him, to submit to Him, and to worship Him as King and as Lord. Where that happens is where the kingdom comes. It is as we submit to Him, and as we submit to each other, that the kingdom is present. The kingdom is not only a place where we submit to God, but it's a place where we submit to each other. Because this is the way of the kingdom. During the Last Supper, Jesus observed something in the behavior of His disciples. They did not want to submit to each other. Instead, they argued about who is the greatest. Jesus rebuked them. He said, "This is what Gentiles do. But you are not to be like that. You are part of the kingdom. You are part of God's people. Here in the kingdom, here amongst God's people, we don't do that. Out there in the world, yes, They want to be the greatest. Yes, they want to step on others. Yes, they don't want to serve. They don't want to submit. They don't want to be equal. But here, in the kingdom, we are going to be different. He said, you should be serving each other. Are you not paying attention? Are you not learning from the example I set for you? I am the one who came as the servant. Who is the greater? The one who sits at table or the one who serves? The one who sits at table, of course. But I came among you as the one who serves. Our Christ is the one who left behind his exalted position in heaven to humble himself, to become a human being, even to die on a cross. Our God is the one who in Christ came and washed the feet of his disciples to set the example, to show them how it is in the kingdom. The ways of the kingdom are so different than the ways of the world. If we come inside this place where we gather as Christians and we act like the world out there, then what kind of hope is there for us or for the people outside? Our only hope is in Christ. Our hope is in His kingdom that comes. Our hope is going to be realized as we submit to each other, as we tend to the presence of Christ among us. You see, when we come to this table, the Lord's table, we come to submit to the Lordship of Jesus and to submit to each other. Now I'm going to just apply this for us in our situation. One of the things that I really appreciate about this church, when I came here, it was the first church that I came to that celebrated the Lord's Supper every week. I've never had that before in any other place. Maybe once a month, sometimes once a quarter, and so forth, but never once a week. And I really appreciate that. Every week we come here, we gather as God's people. We gather for teaching, for fellowship, for prayer, and for breaking of bread here at the Lord's table. This is what the early church did. In Acts 2, it says that this is after the message that Peter preaches. Remember when the Holy Spirit came and he preached that great sermon in Jerusalem. It says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Here we go. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. To the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to that. The scriptures tell us that they met once a week on the first day of the week to do these things. Why? Why did they do that? Why those four things? Because we are formed, we are shaped and reshaped by these practices. We are formed as the people of God. We are shaped into the people of God by the Word, by fellowship, by sacrament and prayer. We are formed into kingdom people, made to fit for a kingdom lifestyle through these four things. But then, as we leave here, during the week, the world outside is squeezing us to fit into its mold. You see, there are two principal molds that you can be fit into. The one is the kingdom life, and the one is the worldly life. Two molds. But every week as we come here, we are being shaped to fit into the mold of the kingdom life. And as the world squeezes us in a different way, we are being reshaped when we come here next Sunday to attend to the Word and fellowship and sacrament and prayer. Every week the world tries to squeeze us in different ways. Every week we have different pressures upon us. But every week as we come, we are reshaped by the grace of God for His kingdom purposes. I'm going to give you 10 ways, very briefly. There are more, but I'm just going to give you 10 ways in which we are reshaped for the kingdom. During the week, maybe we are filled with pride. During the week, there may be times where we think too much of ourselves. But when we come to this table, we realize that we're in the presence of the One who had every right to be proud, but He chose to humble Himself. We realize that our pride stands between us and our God. And it's when we come to this table that we release that pride. When we ask forgiveness and we pray for humility. During the week, maybe we are filled with false humility. False humility is thinking too little of yourself. Maybe you go through your week and because of your circumstances or the people around you, you end up thinking too little of yourself. That's false humility. C.S. Lewis said, true humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. You are thinking too little of yourself. You come here to this table and you realize you're in the presence of the King of Kings, who has given His life for you, who valued you so much that He was willing to pay the price to go to the cross for you. And when you realize that, you understand that I have to think more of myself than I did during the week. Because I was fearfully and wonderfully made by a master craftsman. Maybe we go through the week and you're filled with bitterness. Things are not going your way. And you look at others and it seems that they have it easy. And you feel bitter about life. And you feel bitter about your situation. And you come to this table in the presence of the King. And you realize that you've been given a great opportunity to be a son or a daughter of the Lord God Most High. You realize that even though it looks like other folks have it easy, even though you might have something to complain about, there's no place for bitterness in the kingdom. Christ is here to remove that bitterness, to fill that with His presence. As you live through the week, maybe you live in a situation of oppression, where you are oppressing others or they are oppressing you. Oppression, the strong oppressing the weak, or someone being oppressed because of their race or their culture, or their gender, as we heard on Friday night. There are various ways in which oppression reigns in the weak as we go through life. But we come here to this table. We ask forgiveness for the times that we've oppressed others. And we are being lifted up from underneath that oppression by the one who gave his life for us, by the one who said, no, there's no oppression for you. You are a child of the King. During the week, you go through and you feel the loneliness that comes down upon you. The loneliness that seems to suffocate you. Even though you're in a city among so many people, even though your life is busy and you're doing things and meeting folks and you have all this interaction, but still you feel so lonely. You come to this table, the presence of the King and of his subjects, brothers and sisters in Christ, called together here by the sacrifice of Christ, by the work of His Spirit, and you realize you are not alone. You have brothers and sisters. You have people who will stand with you and who will walk with you because of what Christ has done in them and what Christ is doing in you. Maybe during the week you have a time filled with hate and violence. You get really mad at certain situations. Maybe certain people do stuff to you. You become so hateful and angry at them. Maybe you go over into violence at times. Maybe you wish you could be violent to them. But you come to this table, in the presence of the King, who is the one who is the Prince of Peace, who brings us a kingdom of peace and not of violence, who, when they were violent to him, did not fight back, but like a lamb led to the slaughter, gazed silent against his accusers. You come into his presence. You ask forgiveness for that violence and that hate. He takes it away from you and He fills that with His love. He fills that with His presence. Maybe you go through your week with unforgiveness in your heart. You're holding on to wrongs that have been committed against you. People that have wronged you, that have been bad to you, that have done things that should not have been done. And you want to hold on to those wrongs that were committed to you, not forgiving those folks. But then when you come to this table and you see the one who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, who even forgive those who crucified him, and you realize, I can't hang on to unforgiveness. And you can let go. And let the forgiveness that this table speaks of just flood your soul, cleanse your mind, strengthen your inner human being. I'm not going to be less if I forgive. I'm going to be fit for the kingdom when I forgive. Maybe you go through your week burdened with addictions. Addictions of like nicotine, like drugs, pornography, maybe even food, different ways that people are addicted. Maybe that's how you go through your week, suffering with these things. But you come to the table and the one who overcame all of this, the one who can set you free, You pray and you say, Lord Jesus, break these addictions in my life. Help me to overcome. Help me to be an overcomer in your name. You come to the one who not only helps you overcome, but the one who accepts you and who loves you as you come to this table. Maybe you go through your week faithless, not living with faith, not trusting the Lord as you go through the week, thinking that you have to do everything yourself, you have to take care of yourself, He's not going to care for you. Come to this table. And even though you've been living without faith, as you come, your faith is strengthened. You come to this table and you ask for the gift of faith. Say, Lord, would you give me faith for this week that lies ahead? You come to this table, lastly, full of hurt. Hurt that has accumulated during the week. Experiences that you've had being hurt by others around you. As you come to this table, you let go of that hurt. Because His presence is here to heal. To bind up the brokenhearted. His presence is here to restore. To take away that hurt and to fill that with His presence. We will have an opportunity to come to this table just now. And allow the presence of the Lord Jesus by His Spirit to reshape us into His mold. This is our practice. This is what we do every week. We come for teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. So we can be shaped into the people of God. Let us pray. Lord God, I pray that Your presence would be in this place. I pray, Lord Jesus, as host of this table, that when we come, that You would minister to us. I pray that as we come with all these ways that the world has tried to shape us during the week, all these ways that have pushed us out of the shape that we were in, Lord, that You would reshape us. I pray that we would submit to Your kingdom, to Your lordship, allow You to do Your work in us. And we would submit to each other, recognizing that You are doing a work in each and every one, recognizing Your presence in everyone. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to Your table, Lord, I pray, and be the host among us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.